My next guest is on the line this afternoon. He is Akiva Spiegelman. He is a media and foreign affairs advisor. I came across him writing certain interesting blogs for the Times of Israel. And we're going to be talking about the hopeful moment that we are experiencing now. Akiva, thanks for talking to me on Chai FM this afternoon.
Simon, appreciate it.
Akiva, I'm not sure if you heard me read out a message from one of our listeners who mentioned she's a little bit skeptical, finds it maybe a little bit too soon for optimism. What's your take?
The last, I guess you'd call it, almost 24 hours have been blasting with news about this new arrangement, this new deal, and it seems like it's a done deal. Now, I've said that in the past also when they announced it in the White House, but now it seems like it's really at its ending point. As we speak, the government is congressing in order to discuss parts of the deal and putting it through. But it seems this time, and I'm a person who shares the pessimism usually, but this time it would take a lot for the deal to crumble. There's a lot of happiness in the country today. I don't remember people being so blissful and so full of hope for a very long time. And so that's already a positive for the country. On the other end, there's a lot of fear. There's a fear about the prisoners that will be released. These aren't your day-to-day prisoners. These are people, a lot of them with blood on their hands. They've murdered Jews and Israelis. This deal also brings a pass for Hamas leaders who orchestrated October 7th. And so there's a lot of things to fear here. But all in all, it seems like the hostages will be returning home. And that's a very important part of this war. It was one of the main objectives. And so as much as I fear our counterparts, I share that that fear daily. I know exactly who we're dealing with. At this point, for them to back down while Trump is looking to make his way to Israel and announce it himself that the deal is done, I think it would take a lot for it to crumble.
I'm just thinking the leverage that he must have had over the Qataris was just so much more substantial than we had thought at the time. I think many of us had thought that the Qataris were the finance behind massive investments in the United States of America, and hence the Americans wouldn't take them on. But it seems to me behind the scenes that inordinate pressure must have been brought to bear on the Qataris in particular, the Turks as well as the Egyptians, to have arrived at this point where there seems to be unanimity in the Arab world that this has to happen.
Yeah, look, if you look back at 2020 when the Abraham Accords were assembled, also then, the Palestinian issue was put aside. These countries speak power, and Trump, his tactic is always power. And he's a very good negotiator, and so is his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and so is Steve Witkoff, and they played their cards to their best. Also, it needs to be said, in Israel, there's kind of a game of who we praise and who we don't, and everyone's praising Trump from all sides of the aisle. Netanyahu is getting little praise, actually, for this by some Israelis. But it's also on his part. The threat to enter Gaza City, I think, also had a lot of impact on Hamas. I think they understood that if we would end up going into Gaza, no one would be able to stop us. And so using that as leverage also made a big difference. When it comes to Qatari-U.S. relations, it's very complicated. I think it's still unfortunate how much they have I don't want to call it a chokehold, but they have a lot of power when it comes to dictating the agenda in the United States. We see it on the campuses. We see it also as they were very much involved in this negotiation. I think it's mutual. I think they've signed the deal with Trump. I think it was last week, a defense contract with the U.S., and therefore the U.S. had to also do their due diligence. And so I think it's a mutual relationship over there. It's still early to tell how it's going to affect Israel. We know that Qatar has been home to Hamas leaders for some time now. And so we'd be very aware of the people that we're dealing with. Also, there was an apology by Netanyahu to Qatar while he was in the Oval Office, which was very a very extreme measure. But it's what the Arab world talks, power and respect. And so using those two, I think Trump knew how to play cards right, and he did.
I'm thinking, this is in my dreams, that Trump isn't coming to Israel just because it's a good photo op. I'm thinking he would only make the trip if he had something relevant and important to say. I'm hoping for an announcement as to the extension of the Abraham Accords, maybe even beyond my dreams, an announcement about Saudi Arabia. Do you think I am completely off the mark?
I'm a very big fan of the Abraham Accords, so I would hope you're right, but I think he's coming for a very quick visit in order to stamp his image on this deal. Trump, as we know, is also a media mogul. He knows exactly how to get the attention, and this is one of the ways to do it. Being on that stage in the Knesset announcing a peace deal in the Middle East should probably garner him at least high respect in order in and everything concerning Nobel Prize. Honestly, he probably should have gotten it a while back for the Abraham Accords, and this is just a way to stamp that that necessity on his part. So I would hope he would have more to announce, but I think at this point it's more of
I should adjust my expectations. Yeah.
yeah, I think so.
Okay. No, fair enough. One can always be hopeful, though. It's so weird because there's two things happening simultaneously. I'm almost too frightened to be as hopeful as I would like to be, so it's tempered. And yet, on the positive, there are just such enormous upsides to this. You know, I'm just thinking about anti-Semitism. I don't think any of us have lived through a time in our lives where we have seen the explosion of anti-Semitism to the extent that was around in our great-grandparents' or our grandparents' times. I don't think we ever foresaw this coming. And once again, I'm hoping beyond all hopes that the front of Arab countries, the legitimacy that's been given to the Trump deal will go some way to lessening anti-Semitism worldwide. Once again, do you think I'm being overly optimistic?
Obviously, I hope you're right again. But when it comes to anti-Semitism, unfortunately, it takes a lot to battle this, and it's hard battles. Even now, about 10 minutes before I joined you, Ilhan Omar,
Yes.
from the U.S. Congress, she put up a post saying Israel should be held accountable for its war crimes and genocide, meaning the libel is still very much alive. The claims are the same claims, and unfortunately, we've always stood on our own, and we will probably continue to do so. And anti-Semitism is unfortunately also here. It's been here for thousands of years. It will take a lot for it to change. It's not even up to the Arab world anymore. It's trickled down so much into American society, European society. We've seen what happened in Britain over Yom Kippur. These are things that are unfortunately, very much apparent, and I would hope that they would change once the war ends. But even after a peace deal was announced, whether it was last year or last night, people weren't jumping up and down and saying, okay, let's have peace. They were saying, okay, now we need to hold Israel accountable, meaning a lot is going to be changing here on the ground for us. I feel I think we could start heading back to normalcy and into an age of accountability. But when it comes to the global state of anti-Semitism, I'm not sure how much it's shifted.
Akiva, we're going to have to leave it there this afternoon. Thank you for chatting to me on Chai FM. That isn't the first time that we are going to chat, that is for sure.